For the past three decades, the number of black males entering and matriculating through college has steadily increased. And that's part of the diversity in various professional fields. But despite an increase overall in professional attendance, since 1974, the number of black males applying to and attending medical school in the U.S. has actually gone down.
According to the Association of American Medical Colleges, known as the AAMC, this decline is due to a number of factors. We're going to talk about that in a moment with Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice, president and dean of the Morehouse School of Medicine, and Dr. Benjamin Renales, a third-year internal medicine resident, also from the Morehouse School of Medicine. Thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
I want to go back a little bit. A question for both of you, and Dr. Montgomery Rice, I'll start with you. I want to go back to when you knew that a career in medicine was what you wanted to do.
Oh, it was a, you know, it's a very interesting story, and it's too long to tell and take up all of your airtime. But, you know, I started out at Georgia Tech in chemical engineering and changed my major to chemistry because I didn't think I wanted to be an engineer. I really loved people, but I loved math and science. And so I had a light bulb moment one time that when I was standing in a factory and being surrounded by oil and doing detergent synthesis, that perhaps I wanted to engage more with people. And so medicine seemed like a likely thing. So I went to the encyclopedia, looked up what math and science and people and the connection was medicine. And so that's how it started for me.
Dr. Renales?
Yes, thank you. So introduction to medicine started at a very young age. I was a very sickly child. I can remember being airlifted from kindergarten to All Children's Hospital, a children's hospital in my hometown. So I was very comfortable at a young age with the concept of medicine and seeing the doctor, which is somewhat unusual. However, I was able to feel reassurance through medicine. And I wanted to work with people similar to all doctors. And as Dr. Montgomery Rice alluded to, you know, being able to affect and positive change and affect people's health was always something that was very meaningful to me and important to me. So that was what introduced me to medicine.
So when you hear that there's a decline in black male medical school applicants, Dr. Montgomery Rice, what goes through your mind?
That we have a pipeline problem. This is actually not something that we have not known. We've seen the attrition rate for graduation, high school graduation rates for African-American males still under 50% in many places. In 2012, it was about 52% of those. About 33% will go to college. Of those who go to college, only about 34% will graduate within 5 to 6 years. All of that is leaking. That's the leaking of the pipeline. And so when you talk about then having a robust number of kids who are going to choose STEM major, science, technology, engineering, or math, who more readily would go to medical school, you know that you're going to have a decline. We also can't forget about the social factors. Social factors like the increased number of men, black men between the ages of 18 and 24 who are incarcerated at three times the rate that of white males or Hispanic males. All of that leaves us with less of a pool of persons who would be eligible and capable of going to medical school.
The pipeline problem has causes of its own, though, and you just alluded to one of them, some of the social factors. But what do you think is contributing to the pipeline problem for medical school when we're seeing the overall rate of attendance in college for men of color going up?
I think that they're not as competitive, and I will tell you why. When we look, there are two things. There's a competitiveness factor, and then there are the criteria that we believe leads to success in being a doctor, and those are two different things. Typically, we look at MCAT scores and GPA, and so if you only look at those factors, you are going to miss the diamonds in the rough or the bright spots. We know that underrepresented minorities tend to score lower on some of the MCAT scores, but that does not transcend to them not being able to be successful in medical school. And so you have to have a more holistic approach if you believe that diversity in medicine matters. And I think that many will show that it matters in the learning environment, it matters in the cultural competence of the provider that's produced, and then, of course, it matters in the quality of care that's delivered.
And Dr. Renales, when you hear what Dr. Montgomery Rice is saying, what was it that worked for you, and does what she was just saying about really cultivating diamonds in the rough, does that resonate with you? Is that what you see with folks that were around you?
Definitely. I feel that whenever you enter into medical school, this is a foreign concept for everyone, especially a black male who may come from an environment that's completely different from the professional environment that you will experience in medical school. A couple of the challenges that, you know, black men tend to face, even just matriculating through medical school, I tell my friends, you know, becoming a doctor is an expensive thing to undergo. I mean, we're talking about the MCAT, which is a $500+ exam. I mean, even maintaining a physician's license costs thousands upon, you know, thousands of dollars within every few years. So one thing that I could say, though, that assisted with black males and including myself through medical school was that mentorship and that support and the holistic approach.
Well, let's talk about that, Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice, because he talked about mentorship. He talked, you talked about a holistic approach. And although it's great when they get to the Morehouse School of Medicine, but you're saying we've got to start way before then. What can an institution like the Morehouse School of Medicine do and work with maybe local school districts, even going to the elementary and middle school? Or is that just, you already have a number of issues you're dealing with already?
We definitely believe that part of how we are going to increase the number of providers for Georgia, which has a shortage, and diversify the healthcare workforce, is that we have to grow our own. So we have a number of proven pipeline programs that start with K through 5, middle school, high school, and then undergraduate. We have metrics for those programs. We impact these kids' lives to get them interested in STEM, and we expose them to what's possible in a life of medicine or biomedical research. And we are now beginning to see the fruits of our labor. So in the 2015 class, we had someone to graduate from our program that was the 5th through the 8th grade program. We now, in our Vivian Thomas program, which is a high school program where they take science classes and they do research, we have multiple students, many students who are in our medical school class or in other medical school class. So we're beginning to see the engagement. It's about consistency, exposure, and consistency. If you look at the data, many kids will go to school, college, wanting to be a doctor. They will be a STEM major. But in Georgia particularly, we see that about 40 to 50% of those kids who take the MCAT don't apply to medical school. And we believe it's because the MCAT scores may be lower than expected, and so they're not encouraged. And so they drop out of the process. Doesn't mean they don't graduate. Mm-hmm. They just drop out of this process, this long process that he described of going to medical school. And so what we need to do is encourage those persons. Lots of people take the MCAT more than once. And it's only one piece of data. It does not necessarily translate into whether or not you're going to be a great doctor.
And is that message being sort of taught early to like Dr. Ranolis, when you were coming in through the program, was that message given to you that, hey, look, we know the MCAT is challenging, but don't let that deter you? Did you get that message? Obviously, you did, because...
Yes, I did. And we were just discussing some of this outside. Prior to the airing of the show, whenever at the University of Florida, which is where I went to undergrad, it's a great institution, very successful at having black males applying and matriculating through medical school. However, within that group of black males, as a freshman, everyone wants to be a physician. Mm-hmm. After you go through certain weed out classes, it becomes less and less. And I was at the point where I was fortunate where I only took the MCAT once. However, a lot of my colleagues and friends, that did not score as well, said, you know what, this is too expensive for me right now. Let me go ahead and take a year break. And then we all know what happens whenever you take a year break. And
they
you
never
make
went back.
A year's money, So I feel that has always been a hindrance, more so than anything else, as far as once you get to that level where you're willing to take the MCAT.
But Dr. Montgomery Rice, medical school is a process like that for everybody. People get winnowed out no matter who they are or what their background might be. Mm-hmm. And yet, when we're seeing fewer young black males go through medical school, we're seeing among women the trend is exactly the opposite.
Exactly
so what
opposite.
Is going on here?
It is really the pipeline. We are losing these black males too early in the pipeline, such that they are not even able to get to the point where they would apply to medical school.
Assuming that you have young, say, young African-American male, young African-American female in the same school, in the same environment, shall we say, primary, you know, elementary school and so forth, what is it that makes it really not the same school
It's not
for the boys?
And he talked about it. It's mentorship. What are the subliminal messages that I get as a black male? What do I see on TV? What is my experience? It is different for a black female. I'm not as threatening until I get a lot of older. But early on, I'm not as threatening. So there's going to be more opportunity. There's going to be much more of a comfort level for engaging me and exposing me to opportunities. So it is environment, environment, environment. And so we have to put up those opportunities of role modeling for people to see what's possible. And the data does show that even just like you described, they start out the same. You start to see a divergent path, particularly after in middle school. In middle school is where we really start to see the divergent path, and we lose their attention. We also have to create more exciting curricular opportunities to engage this. Why don't we use video games as a means to incite and, you know, incite STEM energy for people? That's what we need to do. We know boys like to play video games. We know they tend to be more mechanically inclined. There's nothing wrong with that. So let's use that to our advantage.
There's this predicted physician shortage between 46,000 and 90,000 physicians by the year 2025. That's not that far away.
Right.
And we know the changing demographics of the patient population will change. Yeah. Are we at critical in terms of if we don't get more black males into medical school, are we going to even see this decline even continue even further than where it is? Because you have a more diverse population, you want a more diverse medical community.
I will briefly comment, yes, we're at critical. When you have 20,000 students going to medical school last year and 515 of them were black males, 515, that says that you're at critical. And so I do believe that it is time for us to act now. And there are many people at the AAMC, and I will proudly say the deans of the medical schools in the state of Georgia, we're getting together on tomorrow, on Thursday, at Morehouse School of Medicine to talk about this very issue.
Dr. Rinaldo, critical?
Very critical, very critical. We know that minority physicians tend to go back to these communities and help those that are underserved. And so whenever you already have a lack of physicians as of, and if that projection, as you stated, in 2025, 40 to 90,000 increase in shortage, I mean, we need to address these things and address our community.
Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice, who is the dean and president of the Morehouse School of Medicine and went to Georgia Tech, and you were a Florida guy. So,
yeah, go Gators.
A Gator.
And Dr. Benjamin Rinaldo, thank you all for coming in and taking the time. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate you having us.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.